put on my heart. So I pray, dear Lord, please will you give me a prophetic word for this group of faithful people. And so in my spirit, I saw a bright light. And I sensed Jesus saying, my precious, precious people, never doubt I am with you. My light and my love shines all around. It covers and it fills each one of you in a way you cannot imagine. My light always overcomes darkness. Come to me, each one of you, come to me. Allow me to draw you close. All I ask from you is an open heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. Do not forget the dreams I have given you, for in time they will become reality. My precious, precious people, how I love you. I love you so deeply and so truly. Know I am always with you. I am always with you. And the psalm that he gave me was 91. I'm not going to read it now. But in your own time, if you want to have a look at that psalm, Psalm 91, and see how the Lord speaks to you through that. I did, in fact, type it up. I don't often do that. So I will give it to Alistair. And if you want a copy, I'm sure he will let you have one. But if it speaks to you, praise God. If it doesn't, just lay it down.
Question, do you feel different after we did the praise and worship? I don't know about you, did you sense the whole atmosphere in this lovely chapel changed? It does, doesn't it? And we're at the stage where we have 7 grandchildren. They range from 18 down to 3. And those of you who are parents and grandparents know, one of the most sort of popular questions of the younger ones is why? Isn't it? It's why. And I find as I get older and older, I'm coming back to those questions, why? Asking the Lord, why did that happen? Why? What did I miss? And in my prayer time this morning, I was reading a reflection. It said this about, funny enough, about worship. He said, worship is not about singing, it's about transformation. And I thought, that's what happened in that sort of very brief spell of worship. We were transformed. And I was thinking, why? And so I was standing over there thinking, why were we transformed? And it suddenly occurred to me, what we're doing, we're declaring truths into the heavenly. We're proclaiming truths about God, about Jesus, and about our love and our belief into the heavenly realm. And that's what was transforming this room. And it's what was transforming our spirits as well. I believe that that's when I asked the question, why, to God, that's what he revealed to me. That's what we weren't just singing, we were declaring truths into the spiritual realm. And one of the phrases we sang this afternoon was, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. And one thing we all know is the work on earth will not be completed until Jesus comes again. So as Father Danny, was it Dan this morning? Dan said, you know, we are the continuation of the gospel. The gospel didn't finish. It's been rewritten day by day through our lives as well. Explaining and really engaging with the Holy Spirit in a 45-minute talk is virtually impossible. But we're going to try and just sort of give you a brief overview this afternoon. Because it would just take too long to go into great depth. But what we're really talking about, when we're talking about engaging with the Holy Spirit, is having a personal Pentecost, an infilling and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that has been his purpose for all his people and all his church throughout time, exactly as it was at the first Pentecost. One of the privileges we have is working with, not just within the Catholic Church, but also with brothers and sisters in Christ in Anglican churches and evangelical churches. And we're part of a network of church leaders where we are the only Catholics are part of that network. at the moment in this part of England. And we're not really church leaders, but we do have our own sort of itinerant ministry, and we were directors of the Bible school. So that's why we're there. And we talk to them, and they'll tell us how many people were saved in their church this week, or how many people in their church have been born again. And I think as Catholics, we can get a little bit sniffy about that. It sounds a bit gimmicky. But really, that's what a personal Pentecost is about. It's about acknowledging that we are going to be saved, we are saved by Christ, and allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives to fill us and change us. So we can put different labels on when it's being saved, when it's being born again, when it's being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being anointed by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It just comes down to that one thing, a personal Pentecost. I love this season of the church's liturgy because the daily readings, we're going through the book of Acts. And I just sort of, I love the fact that Acts is a continuation of Luke's gospel. And Luke wrote so carefully because he said, I have studied everything carefully and recorded it accurately. And we have this wonderful story about the early church. And it's such an exciting time. And you know, in a way, I'd love to see it made into a film, The Acts of the Apostles, made into almost like a drama. I'm sure somebody's probably done it, and you'll tell me that I can get it on YouTube or Netflix, and I'll be grateful for that information afterwards. But I just think it's such a powerful, powerful time to talk to hear and witness what the early church was happening to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think for me, I love the Easter Vigil when it's done well. And I love the Christmas vigil when it's done well. But for me, Pentecost is really, for me, my favourite celebration in the church. But sadly, as a church, I don't think we do enough about Pentecost, because it's the birthday of our church, when our church came alive. And I think if we read back to that the scriptural account in Acts of what happened, it's such a powerful time. Because it was a promise that Jesus made, wasn't it? I'm not taking a phone call, I'm looking for my Bible. If I can get there. I don't want to correct Jesus inaccurately. While staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And with that, they went into this sort of time of preparation and waiting. And we hear from what Jesus is saying is that he's drawing a parallel between John's baptism with water and what God the Father's going to do to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And it has this wonderful promise from on high. And the promise that God made through Jesus to his disciples back then is exactly the same promise as he makes to each and every one of us today in 2019 here in Alton. Talked about being a witness, doesn't it? Being a witness. The Greek word for witness is martos, from which we get the word martyr. And we know that many of the early church were martyred because they would not deny Christ. But the purpose of Pentecost was and is that we should, in fact, die in favour of a new life for our Lord Jesus Christ. God willing, none of us will be asked to die for our faith. But we are asked to die to our personal needs and our personal desires and our personal ambitions in favour of a life that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to offer us. You know, we've had Calvary and now we're coming up to Pentecost. But those two events, they're totally interconnected. You can't have Pentecost without Calvary, and you can't have Calvary without Pentecost. And in that text I read, Jesus talks about being a witness. And here he's saying, you know, being a witness is something we should be, not something we do. Because I think the word witness can be literally translated, and accurately translated, as evidence. We should be the evidence of who we are. We should be the evidence that Jesus is alive today. We should be the evidence that the power of the Holy Spirit is alive and working in us, through us, and in the world in which we live. Because that is a fundamental call of Pentecost for all of us. When we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying to us, you will be the evidence of me. Evidence that I'm alive, glorified, and ascended, still the same as ever, continuing all those things which I began to do and teach while I was with you in the flesh. So we know that God is with us. Pentecost changed everything. But before Pentecost arrived, the disciples had been spiritually before Pentecost arrived and the disciples were spiritually renewed, they had the Holy Spirit living in them. Otherwise, Jesus would never have called them brothers, as he does in John 20, 17. They'd actually seen the risen Lord before Pentecost, and he'd repeated for them a former miracle of the catches of fishes. He had eaten with them and given them many proofs of his resurrection. He taught them about the kingdom of God, and yet they were still scared. They were still huddled together, scared for the fear of the Jews. They were afraid, and really not the strongest form of evidence that we could claim for the proof that God has the power and the victory. So Pentecost didn't come as a surprise to the disciples. They were gathered there in the upper room, not just the disciples, but others as well. Mary was there, other women, and other people as well, gathered in the upper room, waiting. And I waited for three things beginning with P to happen. These P words to come to light. First of all, it had been promised by Jesus. In John 14, 15 to 18, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I shall ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. That the Spirit of truth, whom the world can never receive, it neither sees nor knows him, but you know him because he is with you. I will not leave you as orphans. So the first P out of the three P's that were happening in the upper room was promise. The second one was perseverance. They were there for a long time. They stuck with it. They believed in that promise. They persevered day in, day out, but while nothing was happening. But they persevered. They stayed faithful. They trusted in what had been said. But the third P, the powerful one, was prayer. It says, we read in Acts, they prayed constantly as one. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And we don't get into a bit about brothers and sisters of Jesus. That's a different argument and different theological debate and understanding. But the thing is, they prayed together as a community, as a body, supporting, reinforcing one another. So when one was filling up, they'd be buoyed up by the others, and vice versa. And Pentecost came, what a transformation. Completely new men and women. They were bold, full of dynamic power, and no longer were they useless. And we're reading at the moment in Acts, we go through just what is going on. The way they were given words to speak that, you know, a humble fisherman, an uneducated fisherman just could not come up with. You know, they were tremendous orators, purely through the power of the Holy Spirit and listening to God. And we know straight away, as they came out from the Pentecost experience, they were up against it. The Jewish authorities definitely were against them. And many other Jews were against them as well, because it was really shaking the roots of their beliefs. It was really challenging them. And also it was tying in. And Peter wasn't slow to remind them who it was that had shouted, crucify him, crucify him. So Peter was really, I think, one of the most powerful orators at that time. And we read, don't we, that, things like, 5,000 were gathered to their number in that day. or 3,000. A lot of people. Imagine if we could do that. 3,000 people gather to our church because one priest stands up and preaches a good gospel. I mean, it's good, wouldn't it? And one of the things Pope Francis has said is, everywhere a meeting goes like this, you should invite the Holy Spirit to come. That was a request from the Holy Father. And ask the Holy Spirit to come and baptise in the power of the Spirit everyone that's there. And we were teaching over in Slovakia, I think it was last year, and the leaders there, we were preaching at a healing service, which we were leading, and between 850 to 1,000 people come to these healing services. And the leader of the group that we work with over there says, we want to follow what Pope Francis has said. So at some stage in your talk this afternoon and before we begin the ministry, can you invite the Holy Spirit to come? And can we make sure everyone gets prayer, for those who want prayer, for the release and baptism of the Holy Spirit? We hadn't planned this, as you can imagine. We through our translators, we made the offer, and I think 750 people stood up. So we had to change our plans slightly. Although we worked with a ministry team of about 50, 60 people over there, we just literally had to pray from where we were. And that's something, you know, and over the whole group. But the Lord did all sorts of wonderful things that afternoon by doing that. And that's something we're going to do at the end of this talk. We're going to, those who want to, we're going to ask you to stand. We're going to say a prayer together. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just fill you afresh. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit before, if you have, stand up for a fresh anointing. Because if you're like me, you're a leaky vessel. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it leaks all the time. We need constant refilling and refreshing with the Holy Spirit. So we know that for the disciples, nothing was ever the same again after their personal Pentecost. It wasn't just the Pentecost. Each one had a personal Pentecost that was there. That we are only here speaking today, apart from the fact that it's part of God's work and God's plan, because of two people. And those people are Richard and Michelle Emblem. It's actually Alistair's brother and sister-in-law. They're both together again in heaven, in glory. But we went on a Life in the Spirit seminar by accident just under 30 years ago. We turned up. It wasn't what we planned. We just ended up there. It's a long story. But Richard and Michelle were leading that 6-8 week seminar in Ashted Church Hall. I remember it well. And we went through the Life in the Spirit seminar. We were prayed for the release of the Holy Spirit. Gina gave a little brief testimony then about what happened to her. Mine was totally different. But after the event, after we went back from that, Richard and Michelle invited us to their prayer group. And it was quite a drive for where we live, but they met every week, this prayer group. So we went along to this prayer group, and we immediately felt loved. We immediately felt the welcome of this loving community to these two strangers. So this is a parish prayer group, so we were the outsiders into this prayer group. And in this prayer group, it was just natural every week for prophecy to be, for prophetic words to be, therefore to be praying for healing, and people's sort of backs and frozen shoulders and migraines were being healed. So we just assumed that's the way it was when she were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because didn't God say, you will do even greater things than I've got? We'd read in Corinthians all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we just innocently assumed we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, so they're there for us to use. So let's get on with it. And that's really how we came into this ministry of prophecy and healing and working in the church in the way we're working at the moment. Because of two people, a lovely couple, who we'll be indebted to forever. And so in a way it's quite nice to be back. Alistair and Jenny, we've been close friends for many years. So in a way it's nice to be back with Alistair and Jenny to be able to honour his brother and sister-in-law, who are quite remarkable people.
I was just checking on time. You finished?
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
I love him to bits. We've been married for 52 years. I'd marry him all over again tomorrow. But he's not very good on time. Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19. St. Paul writes under the heading of spiritual empowering. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. The word of the Lord. You know, people have often heard me share on the marriage encounter experience that Jeff and I, we had after 10 years of marriage. And they have heard me share how we recognized Jesus for the first time in our marriage. And that was a new beginning in our relationship as a couple with Jesus. At that time, it gave us joy, life, energy, inspiration to us and our family. But also, it began our journey with other committed couples and families. It fulfilled in me a need to be loved and accepted, belonging, self-worth, that I actually mattered, autonomy to be myself in a loving community. I came from a dysfunctional family. My father died when I was a baby, so it wasn't my mother's fault, it was just circumstances. And when my brother and I were in our teens and I was with Jeff, we were just beginning to come together as a family with my mother, and my brother, who was 21, died of cancer. And again, it just ripped the family apart again. And then we moved lots of times, and for one place we were, I began to have a sense of what family was. We had some really good friends, and we were a little close, and after 2 years we moved again. And I was just so lonely, I was so upset, and there was such a barrenness in my life at that time. So we went on this weekend. And as I said, it just changed our lives. But the interesting thing was, we were invited to go on another weekend. And first of all, we said yes, and then we said no. And really, it was to get more involved in the movement. And one day, it must have been at a weekend, because Jeff was there, this priest who we'd met on the weekend turned up on our doorstep. Now, he didn't live anywhere near this priest. He was a Dutch priest. And he came along, and we hadn't phoned, and he walked in. And really, he coerced us. He bullied us to go on that weekend. And, you know, Jeff talks about Richard and Michelle, who were fantastic. But really, for me, it was that priest that somehow he saw that Jesus was doing something in our lives, and he wouldn't let go of it. You know, and sometimes I think I'm a bit pushy, and I think I take after that. Sometimes you see something in someone, and you want Jesus to come in and bring that alive. So when I was praying about this talk, you know, and I realized it's strange, isn't it? Sometimes when you look back, And you realize what Jesus was doing in your life. And it was like, I was thinking, it was almost like the Lord was saying to me, Gina, I'm going to restore what the locusts took in your childhood, and I'm going to give you a new family, a new faith family, and a community in a way you cannot imagine. So for me, for us, that weekend was the beginning of our amazing spiritual journey with God, but also as a couple, with our family, and with others. And after 24 years ago, we shared. Again, I think it was a time of disillusionment, possibly in our church. I'm not going to say any more about that. But, you know, sometimes for us, that's how God works. It seems to be when we're at that, you know, the worst point, then he will come along. And it was strange because we were looking for something. It sounds really pretentious, but, you know, priests talk about sabbatical. We thought, oh, that'd be really nice, you know, have a rest from our church and everybody else. We spoke to this priest, and he said, oh, I'll get someone to get in touch with you, which was Richard. So he would say, oh, we put your names down, and you're coming on a Life in the Spirit seminar. So that was our sabbatical for the next 9 weeks. Again, you know, it was a deep spiritual experience. The Holy Spirit came and breathed. I put it in capitals. He breathed his spiritual life into me from my head to my toe. Toes. Got more than one. Toes. You know, for me, it was so unexpected. The Holy Spirit, it brought life, joy, again, exuberance, energy, love, love, and more love. Wave after wave. It was just so overwhelming. At that time, I didn't really understand about spiritual gifts. Only that person prayed over me. And I had healing hands, which I thought they said to everybody. But that deep spiritual experience, again, brought us much closer to the Holy Spirit, to one another. And this deep sense of intimacy with God, this joy ecstasy that I wanted others to experience. And at that time, we became like Life in the Spirit groupies. You know, we used to go around, we used to fill up our car with people from our parish. We used to take them, because at that time, there were a lot of Life in the Spirit seminars. And we used to be very involved in them. And lots of people. And it's like, I remember one time, the Lord gave me a list of names of people from our parish to get to go on the Life in the Spirit seminar. And I remember one of them was a mother of a friend of ours, who, God bless her, but she was very posh. And I was thinking, you know, Lord, this is not going to work. There is no way she's going to go on this weekend. And you know, believe me, she did. But Jesus can do anything. Absolutely anything. So, other things, but I have to keep moving on. So all of us here, this is the point I'm trying to get to. All of us here, we have our own journeys. We have our own spiritual journeys. And sometimes it's not until we look back at or God reveals to us, sometimes God has to reveal it to us, how he has always been active in our lives, even if we don't realize it. Nothing is by chance. I really believe that. Nothing is by chance. So I believe you are here today because you have been drawn here by the Holy Spirit to meet like-minded people, to praise and worship the Lord, to be nurtured, to be ministered to learn more about how the Holy Spirit can work in your life. And like me, like us, I believe there is this constant yearning, this constant desire, this constant hope to have more intimacy with our Father, with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And you know, in all those years, I haven't lost that passion for Jesus. But I want also, I have that passion for others, that they will have that experience, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to draw into a closer relationship to Jesus and to the Father. For years, I never had a relationship with God the Father, because I never had a father. I didn't know the role of the Father. And it wasn't until I went to Jesus and I said, please, will you take me to your Father and introduce me? And now, although I still pray a lot to Jesus, I just have the sense that Father is around me. When I was praying there, I was just thinking, oh, he's got his arms around me. Oh, just go back, Gina. And then I thought, no, don't do that. That's not good. That's not good. In 1 Corinthians 12, under the heading of spiritual gifts, St. Paul writes, and now, dear brothers and sisters, so dear Barbie, is it? Dear Barbie, dear Claire, dear Judith, dear John, and now, all the names of the people here, everybody that's here. Let me just put that down. I will write about the special abilities of the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. And it carries on in verse 4 to 11. Do you know, I really want you to listen to this. Because
they come in handy now and again.
I think that we can listen to this and it just goes over our heads, because we've heard it so many times. But this is speaking to us. It's speaking to each and every one of us, isn't it? So now, dear, whatever your name is, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. 4. I have to cut some of it out because it's not time. Now, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Please listen to that, my brothers and sisters. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another. And to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and to another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. He decides, but everyone is given a gift. We're not for the moment. He then writes about one body with many parts and continues. Verse 27, verse 31. Take my glasses off again. Now all of you together are Christ's body. We are all Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Here is a list of some of the members that that God has placed in the body of Christ. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, those who speak in unknown languages. Is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. Are all teachers? No. Does everyone have the power to do miracles? Does everyone have the gift of healing? Of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in unknown languages? Can everyone interpret unknown languages? No. And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to try and speak faster now. If we remember the earlier reading, when I said about Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19, it is necessary, important, that we are rooted with other Catholics, other Christians, somewhere. It's really necessary. It can be in prayer groups, conferences, teaching days, days of Alton, where we can praise and worship God, where we can nurture one another, when we can allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. And this is where we can learn and use the gifts and the charism of the Holy Spirit, which are not ours to own. They are to build up our church, which also includes us and the building up of society and the world. Just one other brief thing I'm going to say about prophecy. Because 1 Corinthians 14, under the heading of the gifts of tongues and prophecy, verse 1, let love be your highest goal, but also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the gift of prophecy. It goes on, verse 3, one who prophesies is helping others grow in the Lord, encouraging and comforting them. Verse 4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally in the Lord, but the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. For each one of us, the Holy Spirit has called us by name, has given us spiritual gifts and charisms, and each one of us is responsible how we use them. If we are rooted in God, and if we are rooted in his body, we will use them exactly as the Lord wants us to.
But just to say, this is all very spiritual, but we can take practical steps as well. You know, first thing is, I remember when we were part of Call Him and Christian, I remember Damien saying, you've got to be hungry for the gifts. You've got to have an appetite for them. You've got to yearn for them. You've got to pray for them. So we need to be hungry for the gifts. As Paul says, make love your aim, but be eager for spiritual gifts. So it's not being greedy or ostentatious or pretentious if we want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's what we're being called to do. And so we should pray to receive them. And we should risk using them. You know, it's far more important for us to love a person than fear of losing my reputation. You know, we need to go beyond our comfort zones at times. So we need to pray to receive them. We have to risk out of love to use them. And we need to be teachable. Jesus taught his disciples over and over again when they asked him questions about his ministry. And it's we need that same formation. We need to be reading books about it. We need to be going on courses, be going on workshops, and getting alongside people that are more experienced in the gifts. So we've got to stay teachable and be willing to grow. We need to grow in the gifts. Nobody starts mature. You know, you don't start mature in the healing service, in the healing ministry. You start at the beginning and gradually you mature into it and things start to happen more. And we need to have servant and humble hearts. Never forget where the source comes from. It's not us, it's him. And as Jesus said, you know, we need to be able to, in a group, like a prayer group, like we did when we first started out, where it was safe to make mistakes. You know, I remember going to, Richard M was very good on promoting the prophetic. And I used to sort of pray and get what words I thought were from God. And I'd go to Richard and say, this is what I sense God wants to say to the group tonight. And I'd give it to Richard. I said, so you discern it, and if it's right, you give it. And, you know, and after a month or so, he said, no, you just give it. I said, no, you need to discern it. He said, no, he said, I've discerned them up till now. And he said, I believe in you. Get on with it and do it. But, you know, but again, it doesn't matter if it's a bit wrong, if it's off the mark. Because if you're in a small group that you're familiar with, we can make mistakes. Because practice makes better. And like the disciples in that upper room, we need to persevere. We need to stick with it. There's an ebb and flow of these gifts. They come and they go. But we need to pray for fidelity to stick with them. And we need to be open for guidance, you know, so that if a leader of a group says, look, I don't think that was quite right, we have to be humble enough to accept it, as long as it's not heavy shepherding. As I said before, get ongoing training. We still go, 27 years on, we still look forward to going on courses where we can learn more about deliverance, learn more about healing, hear a different person's point of view from a different church, coming at it from a slightly different angle. There's always something new to learn. So it's exciting because it's never dull. It's a journey. I was trying to think of an analogy the other day because I've got to explain it to a group shortly. And I think it's a bit like a river. It's got to start somewhere. A river starts at a spring up in the hills and it's a trickle. And it gradually gets bigger as it comes into a stream and a streamlet and a tributary. And eventually it comes out to a big river. And that's what it is like in moving in the gifts of the Spirit. The spring is the release of the Holy Spirit. And that's where it starts to flow from. You know, and you don't try and float a boat on a small stream. You wait till the river's deep enough before you launch a cruiser into it. You know, we have to start somewhere, and it doesn't matter how old we are. And it doesn't matter where we are in our faith journey, because God will honour that. And he'll use all your past life experiences and just hone them and bring them to a point where they will start to flow. So we're going to ask you to stand. Alistair is going to put a prayer up. And we're going to put a prayer up on the screen. And we're going to say this prayer together. Now, normally we'd let you read it first to make sure you're happy with it. But, you know, we hope you'll be happy with it. We're going to ask you to say it from your heart.
If you're happy.
But if you feel you can pray this prayer, pray it. And then we're just going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and touch every one of us here today for a fresh infilling or a new infilling. And then we're going to move into the time of prayer ministry.
Yeah. Can I just say, not everybody feels anything. If you've never been prayed over for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just for some people, you know, you do. Like when Jeff, you didn't feel a thing. And yet, I mean, God has used him powerfully over the years, especially in the prophecy. So it doesn't matter. Once you invite the Holy Spirit to come, he comes. So if you feel nothing, it doesn't matter. Okay? Just to remember that. Don't be disappointed. Oh, nothing's happening. Believe me, if you invite him, he will come. Okay? So just have open hearts and the Spirit.
So let's say this prayer together. Jesus, I know that I am yours.
And you are mine forever. Thank you for sending your Spirit to me, that I might have the power to live this new life with you.
Stir up your Spirit in me. Release your Spirit in me.
Baptize me with the fullness of your Spirit,
that I may experience your presence and power in my life, that I might find new meaning in your scriptures, that I may find new meaning in the sacraments, that I might find delight and comfort in prayer, that I may be able to love as you love and forgive as you forgive, that I may discover and use the gifts you give me for the life of the church, that I may experience the peace and joy that you have promised. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I praise and thank you for bringing me to this moment. I praise and thank you, Heavenly Father. You sent Jesus to show your depth of love for me and to win me back to you. I repent of all my sin. I turn my back on everything that stands between us, and I commit my life to you. I praise and thank you, Jesus. On your cross you bore all my sinfulness, all my brokenness, so that I would know complete forgiveness and be healed and made whole in you. I renounce Satan and his kingdom of darkness, and I ask you to help me walk in a new life with you, in the freedom of your kingdom of light. Fill me with your Spirit, Jesus. I wish to receive all that you have to give me. I praise and thank you, Holy Spirit. In you I receive the gift of new life. Please open my heart to you, that I may live in all the strength and power and joy of your love, to the glory of my Father in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
So just close your eyes, perhaps put your hands out. Let's say again, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. So, Father God, you promised that you were going to send your Spirit to touch everyone who welcomed the Spirit. So we just invite you now. You've heard our prayer. We invite you to come, Holy Spirit, right now. And we ask you to pour out a fresh anointing of your Spirit on every person present here today that has a heart open to receive and has made this prayer. So just come, Holy Spirit, right now. Fill and touch the heart and spirit and mind, body, soul and emotions of each of my brothers and sisters that are here today. Just come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. Kurabunda shanda malashinda malashanda. Kurabunda malashinda malashinda malashinda.